off the ball breakfast.
Well, you say doing double training sessions. I'd say he's being forced to do double training sessions, and he's there as a shell of a person.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
This is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every Friday. And how are you, Johnny, today?
Not too bad, JD.
So we'll start the conversation with the news that puts everything in perspective, to be honest, when it comes to the sport. Our thoughts are with the Cork jockey, Michael O'Sullivan, who was airlifted to hospital following a serious fall at Thurles yesterday. Michael was stabilised at the racetrack. The meeting was abandoned. The Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board have issued the following statement today. Michael's in intensive care at Cork University Hospital, being treated for his injuries sustained at Thurles yesterday. He's receiving the best medical care. Michael's family wish to express their gratitude for all the well wishes. The statement from Dr. Jennifer Pugh, the IHRB Chief Medical Officer. So Michael, a really talented rider from a racing family. He graduated with an honours degree from UCD in agricultural science, and then he was turning pro after his point-to-point career. And then on the first day of the Cheltenham Festival 2023, rode two winners, Marie Nationale, you might remember, and Jazzy Matty. He's ridden 14 winners this season, two in Britain, one in France as well. This is a really upsetting news. Jockeys received the very best of care, as we know, but this is a sport which unfortunately contains an element of risk. Nobody wants to hear these stories. Nobody wants to report on them. It's tough for everybody involved in the racing community, and that community will always rally Johnny around times like this. But it's tough to be even talking about this.
Yeah, very much so, JD. Yeah, we're recording this on Friday afternoon, and I was actually away, just coming back out from out of the country yesterday, and the first thing I noticed was that racing had been delayed, and then somebody got in touch with me and spoke about Michael, and Michael had been riding a favourite in the race, and it's unusual in the sense of the time of year that the ground is quite quick for early February. It is quite quick, and it was a dramatic race because there were a lot of horses in contention at the last. Then the incident happened. Racing was called off because I understand just didn't have the replacement kind of emergency team there for anything to happen. So, that, you know, we see horses and jockeys fall every day of the week and all of that. But it was obviously apparent that Michael was in a bit of bother. And now we're sort of around 24 hours after the incident. And you can tell from the racing fraternity on social media and people I spoke to last night, that everyone is thinking of Michael. I was at Down Royal, I think it was the last race meeting I was at Down Royal, and Michael rode a winner for Tony Martin, young Lucy, and he gave it a beautiful ride. Typical of, I think the way you spoke yesterday, typical of his lovely, kind style on a horse. And he's actually just gone freelance. So I was actually at Down Royal, so I spoke to him after the race. It was his most recent winner. And he was really positive about going freelance and the opportunities. Michael's very, very talented rider, and Willie Mullins would be among those to appreciate the talent that he has. His uncle Eugene is obviously a well-known trainer. Your cousin Maxine, brother Alan, and as you say, he went down the ag science route in college, and he's from a farming background. And I remember him telling me about how he was, they were bringing the cattle home one day, and he asked for a ride on a horse that Barry Connell trained, and that's how the relationship started with Barry. And I was thinking myself of walking the cattle home many, many times as a young lad, and he used a bit of initiative, and he's a jockey that's it's the early stages of his racing career, and he's just a universally liked guy as well. When you speak to him at the races, he's had a trying season, in that the Barry Connell thing must have been on his mind, and he decided that, or whatever way it worked out, they went a different route. But he was in good form when I spoke to him at Down Royal. Jockeys obviously face these challenges every day they ride. But as you say, JD, the care that they get is top class, and that's the care that he'll get in Cork. I saw people on Instagram last night saying, or on Twitter last night saying, whether you're religious or not, please say a prayer for Michael, and that's kind of exactly how I felt last night. I was asking members of the family to just say a prayer for him, and he's very much in our thoughts at the moment, and there's not much more I can say, really.
No, there's not much more than any of us can say. I remember meeting Michael after he won a Marine National, and then met him the same day when Jazzy Matty and the two winners on the first day of Cheltenham a couple of years ago gave Marine National such a great ride, and confident guy, which you need to be. But also, I just remember putting out on social media, here's the new kid on the block. And I really got that feeling with him. And even on New Year's Day, he's like riding Embassy Gardens from the front, wins the big race at Tremor. And even in the race before the fall yesterday, he was second. So you can tell, as you say, that Willie Mullins, you know, he's highly regarded, and only in his, what, mid-20s. So look, we're going to continue the conversation, Johnny, as best we can, in the knowledge that there's only one thing really in our thoughts and everybody's thoughts in racing, that is the well-being of Michael O'Sullivan. So hopefully we'll receive some positive news going forward. I suppose the breaking news regarding horses on Friday, the announcement that Sergino will not run at Newbury this weekend. He's got a sore leg. It might maybe rule him out of a prep run for Cheltenham. I suppose there's a lot of things going on when we're looking at, what, a month out from Cheltenham now. Not that, as I said, it does kind of pale into insignificance, but I suppose, what did we have last week with the Dublin Racing Festival? We had Willie Mullins' stable tour about Cheltenham. We've got Sergino ruled out this weekend. So things are moving.
Yeah, I suppose Sergino, you know, to be declared in that race, taking on the senior hurlers, as it were, was quite unusual. And, you know, Nicky Henderson ruling him out, I suppose, was, you know, apt to say that he should be fine come next week. It would have, you know, I feel actually sometimes novices should come out of their comfort zone a bit. Three Card Brag, actually, who runs on Sunday. He won a race as a novice at Navan recently, and it got me thinking, if you have a good novice nearly, you should actually run him. Don't run him in a beginner's chase, run him in the good novice races, and if he happens not to win, he's a novice again the following season. And a bit like that with Sergino, why not take on the big boys and go for the big pots? But hopefully he's all right, because I suppose the victory he had over Ballyburn, you know, looks even better now. Ballyburn maybe didn't impress everyone at Leopardstown, but he was very, very strong from the back of the last. And Sergino could be in that really freakishly good territory. And we've had a bit of a balance of power change in that Nicky Henderson has some really, really good horses at the moment. And the Irish domination this year might not be as profound, but I really do hope Sergino, you know, is fine. I think he'll be okay. And I saw Nicky last week. He was kind of saying, like, I'm not going to do public gallops with Constitution Hill anymore, because you know, the last time it didn't really work out. But Constitution Hill being back, and Sergino, you know, coming to Cheltenham, you know, you'd have to think, after some of the performances we saw at the Dublin Racing Festival, the first day at Cheltenham, we'll have everyone salivating.
Quebec Day Boards might run on the first day at Cheltenham in the Supreme Novices Hurdle. Willie Mullins talking during the week that he got a call from Ted Walsh comparing this horse to Golden Signet, who was the 1978 winner of the Supreme Novices Hurdle. So look, this horse, I remember speaking to Davey Russell before Christmas, and he talked about the rev counter, and there's only one time you can go, but it seems like with this horse you can go a few times. Quebec Day Board.
Yeah, and he's owned by a bunch of lads close to where Michael O'Sullivan's from, actually, in real National Hunt heartland. Every time I go to Mallow Racecourse, and you know, you see how much it's complete National Hunt country, and when there's a flat meeting on, people don't take to it at all. And the lads are from Fermoy that own him, and it's a good story, because, you know, this doesn't happen that much in racing anymore. I think he was bought almost on spec, because the main owner had a horse, a Willie, before, and he liked the sire. He liked something about this horse that brought back the other horse to him. And like, his jumping was, I'd say, 3 out of 10 the last day at Leopardstown at Christmas. And it was hard to know how he would stack up taking on the top novices. And like, it was a 10-1 the field race, the Supreme, in early January. And then Salvador Mundi came along. But this guy looks to have incredible engine. And he's absolutely, like, I do like that idea at Cheltenham. I remember going over when Dunguib was odds on in the Supreme. And like, I remember being in the bars at Cheltenham the night before. And the more the more ale you had, the more of a certainty he was. And of course he was beaten, but it's great to have that hype horse in the Supreme.
He was a certainty in the bumper.
And he was a very backward price in the bumper.
He wasn't
so much backward price in the...
No, he was odds on in the
Supreme. But, you know, you want that kind of horse, and you want the first day at Cheltenham to have that real, like, you know, that buzz you get when that kind of hype horse comes to the second last travelling well. And I don't know where the ceiling of this horse's ability is. There were some horses at Final Demand was sensational, I thought.
Yeah, Blood Devassi as well was second to Romeo Coolio and then beaten 39 lengths by Kobeck de Bord. So that says something. Gallopin de Chance is going to go for 3 Cheltenham Gold Cups. William Mullen says he's the best horse he's ever trained over fences, which means that he's better than Florida Pearl.
Yeah, there's no doubt he's better than Florida Pearl. And in fairness, Florida Pearl was maybe more of a not quite getting to 3 miles too, but I was only at Wheelies for a Dublin Racing Festival gig. Like, it feels like less than a week ago. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, but he's obviously had the media over again. Somebody messaged me on the day, were you missing in action at the William Mullins tour? And I had to kind of think, God, was I supposed to be there that day? But he's great with the press, and he's some team for Cheltenham. Like Gallopin de Chance, like I was away, as I say, for the Dublin Race Festival. It was incredible the amount of people around the ring. And there's a photo I think I was taking one of the Healy's took at Healy Racing of these people of a good age, like trying to pet the horse as he came in. It's fantastic to see that. People spoke a lot about Denoli and him winning at Leopardstown that day, but like it's rare you see horses get that adulation that he got when winning at the Dublin Racing Festival. And he's an incredible racehorse. I was lucky to see him in the flesh at Wheelies before the Dublin Racing Festival. And maybe Cheltenham's not his ideal track. That's speculative. Maybe Leopardstown's ideal track. But it's kind of hard to see, very hard to see. Obviously, we've horses fallen by the wayside as well that were supposed to take him on. And what looked a Gold Cup of the Ages earlier in the year now looks a one-horse race.
Only 4 horses have won 3 Gold Cups. Golden Miller, Cotta Drake, Arkle and Best Mate. So I was looking through the field of 15. Maybe Banbridge, the only one that kind of came to my mind. Good Ground, if they rode him to stay. That's the only one I could think of could beat him. The only horse that could possibly beat Gallopin de Chance is Gallopin de Chance himself.
Yeah, and he's had a tough, you know, not that he's been running every day of the week, but these top class staying chases are very, very hard on horses, and they don't stay going for very long, and he has done it. I actually don't feel that Fact File ran at all badly at Christmas, and I know you could say, well, he couldn't even get second, but or at the Dublin Race Festival, but he's learning on the job. He's a Cheltenham winner. If I were JP McManus, I'd be inclined to go for the Gold Cup. There's no comparison between the Gold Cup and the Ryanair for me.
You can't be afraid of one horse as well. And Gallopin de Chance, you never want a horse to fall, but he has fallen once at the Cheltenham Festival. Solness, is he now firmly in the champion chase picture for you?
Yeah, I think
2 grade one wins.
Yeah, and I suppose maybe a bit lazy. I said at the Dublin Race Fest, I don't know, was it the price at Christmas or what it was, the fact that he looked a fairly exposed handicapper. I didn't really give him the respect he deserved at the Dublin Race Festival. Watching the race itself, I did feel a long way out. I think I was reading during the week, I know Hugh Cattle and the RTE guys had a big barney about the race.
The tactics, yeah.
These races are hard to call at times because, like, in theory, Solness shouldn't be able to beat them the way he did, but he's actually kind of unexposed as a tearaway horse. And Danny Mullins probably suited him ideally on the day. You know, not to say JJ Slevin wouldn't, but Danny got a good tune out of him. But I never got the sense. I tip Marine National.
But he ran well, and I think that he's coming
very well.
He's coming to himself,
ahead of the spring festivals. I never really felt he was going to. And I actually felt he found more nearly than I thought he would. And as you say, he is coming to himself. I never really felt he was going to get him. I think it'll be different at Cheltenham. If Marine National comes up and it's good to soft ground, I feel he will have a good chance of first in the form. But a lot of kudos to Joseph O'Brien. You know, he doesn't really train that many jumpers, but this horse has sort of been turned inside out. And it was a fascinating race to watch. Gaelic Warrior was obviously the enigma of the race. He was like the first horse beaten. I don't know where they're going with him now, whether they'll, you know, go back to the drawing board with them. But it was a hell of a performance from Solness. I don't think he'd be good enough to be John Bond, to be honest, but maybe I'm wrong.
Nice. On Saturday, we have a Mare's Chase, the Opera Hash, Allegri de Vassi and Dino Blue, probably the two of the three to be looking at. Allegri de Vassi won well at Fairy House on New Year's Day and won the race last year, so she might be the one to beat. And then on Sunday at Navan, we've got the William Hill Boy and Hurdle. Meet and greet, won nicely Christmas at Limerick and has his chance, as does the Devil's Coachman now, back over hurdles, second in the Galmoy Hurdle, and is a course winner. We also had some sad news this week, Johnny, the death at the age of 88 of Prince Karim. The Aga Khan, spiritual leader to 15 million Ismaili Muslims. He was a developer, investor, philanthropist. He was a racehorse owner and breeder. He had 4 stud farms in County Kildare and 5 Epsom Derby winners, including Shergar.
Yeah, I was just doing a piece for the Currency on him tomorrow, and he obviously had an indelible mark on Irish racing. I think it was his grandfather was introduced to racing by one of the old English lords from Liverpool, who himself then founded the National Stud, and had to find out that Michael D. Higgins unveiled a statue to him at the National Stud, and he was the guy who introduced the Aga Khan's grandfather to racing, and that's how the whole sort of thing started in terms of his interest in British and Irish racing. And I didn't quite realise that the Aga Khan fell out of love with British racing because of some failed drug tests that he didn't agree with their their drug testing policy, and he basically moved his horse essentially to Ireland in what was that sort of the mid 2000s, and John Ox was a big recipient of that for all that he'd had horse with John Ox, and then you obviously had like the Shergar story is just incredible when you think about it. I mean, there's even the story that, you know, The I suppose all of the Shergar stuff was just so mad at the time. You're trying to put yourself in early 80s Ireland when it was a massive PR on goal from the IRA in the first place, because I think they underestimated how popular Shergar was, and obviously whatever happened to him happened to him. But it was an incredible story at a time when Ireland was very a lot of immigration, and he was a sort of a national icon. But I suppose the race that sticks out for me, I wasn't even born around for Shergar, but the race that sticks out for me was Dalakani at the Curra when he rocks up against Asamoah, and
it's not Alamshar
rather, and Johnny Murta outrolled Christoph Soumillon. I spoke to Johnny Murta about it. Fran Berry's words were he robbed the race off him, but it was a real 4-7 against 4-1, and Alamshar, as much as he was a good horse and he did win the King George afterwards, he didn't have Dalakani's quality, but it was a case of Christoph Soumillon came to the Curra and he just didn't know the track. And Murta speaks in the piece about how he arrived with Soumillon came over with the entourage, like, and he was coming over from France with the Aga Khan, and, you know, expecting the prince to be crowned, but Johnny Murta just he sensed he rode the Curra like he knew it a lot better than Soumillon, and it was a brilliant race to watch. And as Fran Berry pointed out to me in the piece, he's like, it's fanciful to think that you'd have that now, not to mind the French champion coming over, but the Aga Khan running the favourite and second favourite against each other in the Irish Derby. And another thing I didn't notice was it was the record crowd for the Irish Derby that for the Curra full stop was the 2003 Irish Derby.
Wow, it was 42 years ago tomorrow that Shergar was kidnapped.
Mm.
And
yeah, it was a strange timing around the end of
February. Yeah, Sindar as well. I mean, an amazing horse, won the Derby, first Irish Derby winner for 16 years in 2000, then went on to win the Ark in the colours of the Aga Khan. Johnny Murta, John Ox. Then you had obviously Harzand, the late Pat Smullen riding him under Dermot Weld to win. And only last year, Dermot Weld again as a Leah.
Yeah, winning the Oaks, and Dermot Weld having never won the Derby. And Dermot Weld actually had more winners for the Aga Khan than Johnny Murta last year by one. I think Johnny Murta had more horses. And there was another strange timing of it that Michael Halford announced that he was leaving the training ranks during the week. And Michael Halford would be sort of, along with Tracy Collins, was the third trainer for the Aga Khan. But, you know, I mean, the Aga Khan, he was the head of, and now his successor is the head of a religious sect of sort of 15-odd million people, and incredibly wealthy man and all of that. So you can obviously say, like, I mean, any sort of philanthropy has to be put in the context of somebody who's a billionaire or whatever. But speaking to people in racing, and particularly Brian Kavanagh, what the Aga Khan did for the Curra, like, the Aga Khan would have come over to Giltown as a youngster away from his studies during the summer. And I suppose these are the formative years. And he did fall in love. He did really love Ireland. Like, he loved Ireland. He loved the horsemen over here. And he loved the Curra. He really wanted the Curra to be the race course to match the racetrack.
Will there be a continuation then of his investment?
Yeah, so Princess Sarah, who's actually his eldest child, I think, she's sort of, I mean, Khan was 88. I think she's 53 or 4. But she's been sort of overseeing things with Pat Downs in Giltown. And you have to remember, like, they've Seed the Stars and they've Sayuni in France. So they've two of the best stallions around. So I feel it'll continue on.
May he rest in peace. Johnny, thank you today.
Thanks, Judy.
Not a usual racing pod. We're going to wrap up the conversation here. We'll have more details and news over the weekend and hopefully some positive developments and news on Michael O'Sullivan here on Off the Ball over the weekend.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.